So let's pray. Father God, this morning is a unique gathering. We've had a lot of unique gatherings this past year, but this one might take the cake. We are all at home, and the snow is beautiful to look at. Just that reminder of how you wash our sins away white as snow. You make us clean through the blood of Christ. And so this morning, as we look out our windows and we see the snow falling, would you just remind us what you've done for us through the blood of Jesus, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, that we are new in Christ. Father, as we worship this morning, as we continue in our study of your word, may you speak to our hearts. May you challenge us to grow deeper with you. So wherever we're sitting this morning, on our couch, at our kitchen table, around the house somewhere, Lord, would you just speak to our hearts, calm our spirits, help us to hear your word and worship you today. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Also want to encourage those of you who have access to the comment section on YouTube. You can comment through the sermon, which is not something that we normally do. You can talk back to me, which is kind of fun. My phone's sitting here too. I'll be curious to the first person who tries to text me and interrupt my flow of thought. That's okay. I welcome it. Abby Acker, good morning back to you as well, because I saw you comment. I can see those comments. I don't know what it looks like for your end, but so just encourage you to engage in one way or another. So I want to talk about the sermon this morning. Let's get into our new series. I was reflecting this week growing up that I never had a garden at our house. And of course, as I look out the window, see the snow falling, it's kind of a weird time to think about gardening, but we never had a garden growing up. Now, we ate a lot of vegetables. We ate healthy foods and stuff, but we went to the grocery store and bought all of them. We never had a garden outside that we would grow our own produce, because my mom, she had a huge garden growing up. As a kid, her parents had a garden and she hated taking care of it. See, her chores consisted of picking, cleaning, canning, weeding, and watering the garden, and she hated every single one of them. And so she said, we will not have a garden. My family will not have one. One of her least favorite things to do was stringing green beans. So when she decided to buy green beans at the store, that was something us kids had to do. It was just something that she never wanted to do. And so as a kid, we never had a garden. Now, I knew that people had gardens. I know that you could grow food at home. We just never did it. And then I started dating Allison. And her parents had an enormous garden. I'm not talking a row or two of tomatoes or anything like that. I'm talking a enormous garden. You name it, they grew it. They had corn, beans, peas, cucumbers, tomatoes, pumpkins, potatoes. I mean, any kind of vegetable you could think of that's grown in Pennsylvania, they were growing. They even threw in a row or two of wildflowers just to kind of top it off to be a vegetable and flower garden. And so when we got married, it was not a big surprise when Allison said, hey, I want a garden. I kind of expect a garden. I had one growing up, and I've always assumed that I'd have one as an adult. The problem was that Allison's dad had always done like the prep work. He was the one who tilled up the soil and planted the garden. And so in Allison's mind, her expectation was that the husband did the prep work for the garden and then the wife would help with the gardening. And of course, the problem is I had no idea what I was doing. As the husband in this scenario, it fell to me to plant the garden, to prepare the garden. I just had no idea how to do it. And so over the past 8 years, I've had to learn a lot of times through trial and error, by talking to people and listening to people who have gardens, by experimenting and just trying some things out by reading. And every time we've moved, we have to start afresh. We have to make plans of how we're going to make a new garden at the new house. We just moved this past winter, and so we are planning this spring to have a garden. And I'm trying to figure out where's it going to go and what are we going to grow and how's it going to work. And some houses we've lived at have had really good sun but really poor soil, and then other houses had little sunlight but some good soil. And it has been this continuous learning process. It's always an adventure. Even my father-in-law, who has this amazing garden, is still learning. This past season, he invited me during the harvest time to come over to dig up the sweet potatoes. They grow two long rows of sweet potato plants. And so normally we get, 4 to 6 bushels. And for those of you who don't know, the bushels are like those big baskets, 4, 6 plus huge bushels overflowing with sweet potatoes. So I went over expecting to dig up and get a whole bunch of potatoes. And at the end of the two rows, we had managed to harvest 6 potatoes. 6. I took 3 and he kept 3. Here, apparently, there were some hungry moles living under the ground who had decided to eat his whole harvest. And so this winter, I think he's touching up on his pest removal and prevention. He's still learning. He's still developing his gardening skills. The truth is, no matter how long we garden, we're still learning. Me as a novice gardener, my father-in-law is an expert gardener, we're still learning how to garden better, how to grow more. And the problem is that many people who lack the knowledge about gardening, who've never had a garden, they say, well, I'm just never going to start one because I just don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, so I won't start afresh. Since I don't know, I'll do nothing. I'll just go to the grocery store and buy my vegetables. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with going to the grocery store and buying your vegetables. But when it comes to our faith, this idea, this mentality doesn't work. Just like with gardening, we can all grow in our faith and our relationship with Jesus. You can use gardening kind of as this metaphor to growing with Jesus. When we're young, inexperienced Christians, we tend to outsource our faith. We tend to outsource our spiritual growth. Like going to the grocery store, we can kind of look to others to provide what we need to grow in our faith, to get the spiritual basics in our spiritual refrigerator, if you will. So we look to like the pastor and the weekly sermon. We read maybe a daily devotional book that will help us grow. We have other people pray for us and with us, but prayer is maybe something that we're not sure how to do ourselves. But if we never go farther than that, if we never dig in for ourselves, we're doing a disservice for our own lives and we're doing a disservice to Jesus. This idea of faith gardening is better known as spiritual disciplines. Now, the challenge is, as soon as I say those words, spiritual disciplines, some of us get really anxious. Because spiritual disciplines, we think, these are the things that are reserved for experts. Spiritual disciplines are for people who are really deep in their faith. For those who want to go to this deeper level, we think about spiritual disciplines. Well, those are things that are reserved for the most holy of holy people. Monks or missionaries or pastors, the extra godly, if you will. And so we often turn and avoid these things, much like my mom avoided gardening. We say, well, that's just not for me. That's something that's beyond my level of faith. And so we do nothing. We avoid it like gardening. But here's the simple truth, the very basic thing we need to understand this morning is that we are all already engaged in spiritual disciplines. You're already doing them. We're all practicing them, whether we realize it or not. Some of us are cultivating some huge harvests of our faith. Other of us are just working on maybe a row or two of wildflowers and maybe a tomato, but we're growing something. We are all growing somewhere, somehow in our faith. Now, how do I know that? Well, we've spent the last 4 weeks talking about worship. How do you worship? Why do you worship? We said over the last several weeks that we are all engaged in worship of some type. And many of us have been challenged to reevaluate or kind of change how we engage in worship. Well, worship is one of the several spiritual disciplines we find in Scripture. So the very fact that you came to worship this morning, be it it's a different format for some of us, especially those of us who are used to going on site for worship, the very fact that you are in a worship service this morning tells me that you are engaged in a spiritual discipline. You are trying to worship. So over the next several weeks, I want to look at some different ways of how do we grow in our relationship with Jesus? How do we do this faith gardening? Scripture gives us about 8 ways to do this, 8 methods to grow, 8 spiritual disciplines. We have worship, we have reading and meditating on God's word, giving thanks, prayer, we have giving, serving, fasting, and fellowship. So these are the ways Scripture says, how do you grow in your faith? Again, worship, reading God's word, giving thanks, prayer, giving, serving, fasting, and fellowship. Now, as you hear that list, if you're like me, you go, well, okay, I do some of those things. And oh, there are some of those things that I don't want to do. Like I hear, no, I don't want to do that. But the truth is we're all engaged in these in some form or another. And so when we say spiritual disciplines, it really is just a fancy way of saying, I'm working on my faith garden. I'm working on growing my faith, deepening my relationship with Jesus to look more and more like him as I live my life with him. And so as we start this week, what I want to do today is just explore some basic characteristics of spiritual disciplines. What are they? And really, what are they not? To help us better understand what we're getting at. And these are indeed things we can all do. To see that this is something that you can do, that I can do, no matter who we are. That it doesn't matter how, quote, good at them you are. This is something we can all do. That we're all growing something in our spiritual gardens. And so I just want to talk about how do we grow bigger and better things? How do we develop more in our faith gardens? So what are spiritual disciplines and what are they not? Well, first, characteristic, spiritual disciplines are personal, but they're also interpersonal. They're not like cloistered away. See, often when we hear or think about spiritual disciplines, we again think of this idea of being extra godly. Oh, spiritual disciplines, that's for the people who are super godly. So we think about like monks or nuns who go away into their cloister and do these things by themselves in isolation. Maybe we think of maybe almost like a hermit, someone who wants to go so deep with God, they leave the whole world behind and they go live in a cave like a hermit so that they can work on growing closer to God just by themselves, just them and God. Now, it's true that some spiritual disciplines are individual. They are personal. But many of them are also interpersonal. Many of them are things that, yes, we can do by ourselves, but we also do together. And some of them actually are things that you can't do without other people. You have to do them together. So think about prayer, for example. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. Now, we each pray on our own. Maybe you pray before you eat. Maybe you pray first thing in the morning or right before you go to sleep at night. Maybe you only pray once in a while when you're in need of something. But the reality is you probably speak to God, you talk to God by yourself. But we also pray together. We pray during our worship services. Just a few moments ago, I led our congregation. I led you in a prayer together. I was praying, but praying with you. When we have our dwelling place worship services on Wednesday nights, we are praying together. When we have meals together, we pray together. So we can pray by ourselves. We also pray together. Likewise with worship. We've seen it that worship is something we do together, but it's also something we do alone. We worship on Sundays as the body of Christ in the sanctuary, or today we did it all online with YouTube. But we also can worship by ourselves in our cars. We can worship by ourselves in our bedroom. We can worship by ourselves wherever we are. And so we can worship together or apart. If you want to use the illustration of actual gardening, think about it this way. When I'm preparing the garden, there are things that I want to do just by myself. So like when I want to till up the soil, whether I'm using a rotor tiller or just a rake thing, these are things I want to do by myself because my kids want to come help. They want to be with me and they get in the way and it gets kind of dangerous. And so when I'm tilling, when I'm ripping up the soil, that's on my own. But when it comes to weeding and picking and husking corn, those type of things, I want help. I want to do it together because I don't like doing it by myself. It's more meaningful and significant to have my family doing it together. So there are things we do by ourselves. There are things we do with others. And in our faith, we grow both during these intentional solitude times, but also during our corporate togetherness. And so we need both. And so spiritual disciplines give us both. The second thing we need to understand about spiritual disciplines, what they are, what they're not, is that these are things that we do. They're activities that need to be done. They're not just an attitude or a thought process. See, it's very easy to think about things. It's very easy to say, oh, I'm going to try today to keep the right attitude, or I'm going to think about people in need, not actually praying for them, but I'll think about it. When it comes to spiritual disciplines, we actually have to do something. There's an activity, an action to be had. So again, let's think about it in terms of gardening. Allison says to me when we get married, hey, I want to have a garden. Okay. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to think about where am I going to put it and what am I going to plant and what do I need to do? But there's still no garden. It's not until I actually go outside and do something, till I order the seeds or buy the seeds, till I till up the soil, till I build the flower bed or whatever it is, until I do something, there's no garden. Until I get up and do something. So spiritual disciplines are the same way. They call us to take action, to actually do something. Now, the actions, the activities themselves are not the goal. This is not just busy work that we're given to do in our faith. The goal of doing any discipline is not in the doing, it's in the being. It's being with God, being like Jesus, being with Jesus. 1 Timothy 4:7 in the NASB gives us this translation, this statement. It says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. In other words, these things that we do, we're doing them not just to think about them, not just to be busy, but in order to grow with God. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. How we do them, what we're doing, how we do them, it matters. We've seen this again over the last 4 weeks with worship. If we approach worship as a transaction, I do this to get this, we said, well, we're just going through the motions, but there's really no results coming. The motions and the rituals only get us halfway there. It takes our heart doing something. An example of this would be the Pharisees in the New Testament. If you're familiar with Jesus's story, you have this group of individuals, the Pharisees, who do a lot of the right stuff. They look really good in what they do, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons. And so what we need to understand when it comes to spiritual disciplines is that we set out to do these things, but with the right purpose, with the right heart, of knowing God more, of growing with Him. And so it's not just thinking godly thoughts, it's doing these things with a godly heart. The third thing that we need to understand about what is a spiritual discipline, what is it not? Well, spiritual disciplines come from Scripture. They're given to us in the Bible. They don't come from ourselves. Now, we have probably all known someone who tells us how they grow with God. But they tell us these ways that we go, oh, that's something I can't do. So, for example, someone could say, well, I really connect with God. I feel most like I'm with God and growing with God when I'm on a surfboard, when I'm out surfing. And they go, okay, so if I want to grow with God, maybe I should try surfing too. But the reality is if I get on a surfboard, I'm going to fall off of the surfboard. I'm probably going to drown and then I'll be with God. So in a roundabout way, I'll grow with God too. No, I can't connect with God through surfing. Well, the Bible spells out these ways in which we cultivate our relationship, these spiritual disciplines. They're biblical methods. They're not random ideas that people had throughout time. These are the ways that Scripture tells us to grow with God. This isn't something that some people can do and other people can't. It's not something like surfing where you might like to surf, but I don't. It's not gardening or hiking or poetry or any activity that you might enjoy, but I don't. See, spiritual disciplines are ways in which we all connect with God. It's ways that we can all grow with God. Now, let's pause here and realize that maybe if you like to surf and you connect with God through surfing or gardening or hiking or whatever it is, we've said over the last several weeks that worship is our lifestyle. It's not just an event on Sunday mornings. We can worship God with our entire lives. And so you might worship God when you're gardening, when you're hiking, when you're surfing. But that's not a spiritual discipline for me or for other people. Worship is, but how you worship might differ from how I worship. So we have to be clear when we talk about spiritual disciplines, they're not a free-for-all. We can't pick and choose what we do or do not want to do. And that's part of the growing process. See, I would be happy to pick and choose. Okay, I can do worship because I'm the pastor and I have to come to worship on Sunday and I'll sing the songs and I'll preach the sermon and we'll have worship. I'll do worship. I'll be happy to pray. That's another thing that I do well, I guess. But when we talk about fasting, when we talk about giving, well, those are things that I would rather skip. Well, that doesn't really work. I mean, you can skip them, but you're not going to grow the same way. If you talk to a longtime gardener or a farmer who has grown a lot of different things over the years, they're going to tell you about the process of rotation. See, if you plant the same crop in the same field year after year after year, eventually the soil begins to break down, the nutrients aren't there, and it doesn't grow as well. And so what we learn is that you want to rotate your crops. You're going to grow something different in this plot than and the next year in this plot, and this, and you rotate them because it makes the soil richer. It grows better. And so good gardeners, good farmers will tell you how to rotate your crops. That same idea, I think, applies to spiritual disciplines. when we rotate and fulfill all of the spiritual disciplines, we're going to grow more. Doing the ones that are harder for me personally are going to help me actually grow more because I'm being submissive to God's word. I'm giving myself over to what God wants, because doing the hard ones shows that I'm trying to be submissive to God. I'm going to do what you want, not what I want. I'm going to do what your word says, not what my desires are. And when we're doing that, we're already beginning to deepen our relationship with him. God, I'm going to follow your word, your ways, your word, not mine. And so when we fulfill all of these disciplines, we're growing. Now, at the same time, we need to know what the Bible calls us to, what these disciplines are, because they're sufficient. And that's the fourth thing we learn about spiritual disciplines. They are sufficiently given. There are no needed add-ons. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Because we've probably have heard the kind of sales pitch before. Hey, if you want to grow deeper, if you want to go deeper with God, here are the secret ways, the new ways. We found this new method to know God more. Well, that's not what we find in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, everything we need to be thoroughly equipped, to be completely prepared for every good work that God has prepared for us, is given to us in God's word. Everything you need to live a life for God is given to us in Scripture. There are no add-ons. If we work on doing all of the things that God calls us to do in the Bible, we're set. Now, it's quite a list already. There's quite a few things God wants us to do. None of them are super easy. So why would we want to add on more work with other methods? But the truth is, we're often looking for faster or more efficient ways to grow, or at least feel like we're growing. See, we want the quick and easy way to go deeper with God. But the truth is, spiritual discipline, spiritual growth, it takes time. Like, you can't rush time. Relationships that grow over time. There are no shortcuts. We're just going to do what God calls us to do. So again, using the illustration of gardening, when it comes to gardening, there are four basic elements. To grow something, you need sunlight, you need soil, you need water, and you need a seed. That's it. You need those four things. Now, there are other things you can do to add on. There are things that you might do to change how you're growing or what you're growing or how you're, but the reality is nothing else is needed. You need sun, soil, water, and a seed. Those are the four things you need to grow. Scripture says, here are the eight things that you can do as a Christian to grow in your relationship with God. This reminds me of the scene when Jesus is visiting the two sisters, Mary and Martha. He goes to their house, and Mary and Martha embrace Jesus's visit in two very different ways, but with the same heart. They both want to be with Jesus, to love Jesus, to serve Jesus, to show Jesus their heart. They just go about doing it in very different ways. Martha is, she wants to do everything for Jesus. So she's cooking, she's cleaning, she's trying to be the best hostess she can be. She's rushing around the house trying to make sure that Jesus's visit is as good as it possibly can be. Whereas in Mary, the other sister, she wants to simply be with Jesus. Everything else is important, but the one thing that's essential is, Jesus, I just want to be with you. And so she sits down at his feet and listens as he's teaching. And Martha gets upset because Mary's not helping. And so when she goes to Jesus, Jesus says this, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. It wasn't that the things that Martha was doing were wrong. They were things that needed done. They were very beneficial things. There are many things that you and I can do to grow in our relationship. But the spiritual disciplines are the list of things that we begin with. These are the things that are needed. These are the things that are essential. Nothing else is needed to be complete and equipped. Now, we might enjoy some other things. There might be other ways that we connect or we show God we love him. But these eight ways are the ways that we need to fulfill, need to dive into, need to work on cultivating our growth. The fifth thing that we need to understand about spiritual disciplines is that they are binary. they're not level. Now, that might not be clear right away. What I mean, binary is this idea of it's either on or off. It's yes or it's no. It's light or dark. In a binary world, there are two options, either or. There's not a middle ground. Spiritual disciplines are that way. You're either doing them or you're not. You're either doing them or you're not. Yet the reason many of us get uncomfortable when we start to talk about them is because we think of them more as a layered event. The more you practice them, the more deeply spiritual you become. You work through the layers. Again, we have this idea that only the holiest of holy people do these. Only maybe the holiest people achieve this deeper level of faith, that they're more advanced in their faith than we are. And once you achieve a certain level, then you move on to the next level, and the next level, and the next level. I've been playing the original Mario with Alan, and so you go through level one and level two and level three. And that's how we think about spiritual disciplines. Well, I've achieved the first level, now I can do the next level. No, they're binary. You're either doing them or you're not. This week I read this statement. It said, rightly practiced, the spiritual disciplines take us deeper into the glories of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The spiritual disciplines pull us into Jesus, not away from the gospel as though we had moved on to some advanced level of Christianity. They just take us closer to Jesus, not to a new level of spirituality. There is no deeper level. There are no levels of Christianity. To be a Christian is to live for Christ, to know him as your Savior. That's it. There are no levels to be had, just things that we can do to grow and develop our relationship, to know him more. And you're either doing them or you're not. But we can all do them. If I came over to your house this summer and I looked at your home garden, assuming that you have one, and I discovered that you were growing cabbage, let's say, that would be reasonable. You're growing cabbage. You chose to grow something. You chose to grow cabbage. You can either grow cabbage or not grow cabbage. But if I looked at your garden and saw this cabbage and I then turned to you astounded and I said, how can you possibly be growing cabbage? You're not ready. You're not ready for that level of gardening. Just kind of look at me kind of weird. You either grow it or you don't. See, you don't need practice to achieve it. You plant the seeds, you grow it. You're either doing it or you're not. And that's the same way with our faith. There's not a metric for when you're mature enough in your faith to do these things. There's not a metric when you're mature enough to plant cabbage. You either do it or you don't. So when you're doing a spiritual discipline, you're either doing it to grow or you're not doing it. There are no levels of faith. There's no deeper levels to go to, just a desire to grow in your relationship. Are you fulfilling these calls of Scripture, or are you choosing not to? The last thing this morning we want to look at is that spiritual disciplines are a process. They're not an end in themselves. So again, we look to the Pharisees in the New Testament. The Pharisees thought that they were godly because they were doing all the right things. They were doing the right things, and yet Jesus condemns them. Several places, but we'll look at Matthew chapter 23. We read this. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to be people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. He says, you are doing all the good stuff, all the right-looking stuff, but it isn't transforming you. It isn't growing you. The actions are not enough because your heart isn't in it. Again, we've been looking at worship in recent weeks, and we've seen that the motions of worship, the rituals of worship, it's not enough. That's not what God desires. They're just the steps that God gives us to pull out our hearts, to pour out our adoration to God. Here's how you do it, but you have to have the heart. They're just the tools. It's the same thing with spiritual disciplines, because worship is a spiritual discipline. They are tools to help us grow. The actions themselves stand for nothing if that's all we're trying to do, if we're just trying to do the right things. We have to do them, but we have to do them with the right heart. If we're just trying to check them off of our holy checklist, it's not going to work. They're a process. It's something to engage in. It's not an end in of itself. So One thing that I struggle with is dinner time prayers. Every night we sit down, have dinner. Before we eat, we bless the food. We thank God for our food. I suspect maybe your family does the same thing. The challenge for me is it feels very ritualistic. It feels very rote. Thank you, God, for our food. Or we do, you know, with the kids, we're teaching them, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for this food. And it's good. We're thanking God. We're expressing our gratitude. But not often is my heart and my head engaged in it. And I'm struggling with that because I know that's not what God calls me to do, just to say these words. I want to mean these words. And so I'm working on this. And I suspect maybe you might relate that you do the right things, but you want them to be meaningful. And so you're working on it just like I am. We're all in this together. And so here's the bottom line today. When you hear spiritual disciplines, stop cringing. I do it too. I start to cringe because I think these are things that mark up your level of spirituality. They're not. These are not things that make other people holier than thou because they do them and you don't. These are just things that we all can do. And honestly, most of us are already doing most or some of them. These are things we can all do to deepen our faith, to grow in our relationship with God. Spiritual disciplines are tools that scripture provides us to grow, to help us grow and deepen our relationship with Jesus. They are meant for us to do in real life with real people. And while they're not really optional, they are also not burdensome. God says, I want you to do these things, but they're not going to be a burden because when we partake of them, when we do them willingly and in an open obedience to God's call, we will grow. We will be equipped. We will be complete for all that God is calling us to do. These are good things that we should want to do. We just need to kind of get into them. And so I'm really excited over the next few weeks to look more closely at each of these actions, each of these activities, to see how can we each work on putting them more into action? How can we all be doing these things so that we can see how can we each be growing individually and together corporately to know Christ more, and that we can be challenged to push into the activities that might be more intimidating. To say, I'm going to try to push myself into the things that I don't like to do because I know that it's best for me. We are all growing spiritual gardens. The question is, what do you want to grow? How do you want to grow? How do you want your faith and your relationship with Jesus to flourish? So on this very, very snowy day, we're talking about gardening. But what do you want to grow? How do you want to grow with Christ? God, this morning, I am so grateful that we can gather together. As I look at the screen, I can see a number representing so many people that I know and love who are engaged in this conversation together. Lord, would you speak to our hearts this morning and just show us the truth of spiritual disciplines, that these are things that we can all do. They're not a holier-than-thou approach to life. These are things you call us to do so that we would know you more, that we would depend on you more, that we would glorify you more. God, help us to deepen our relationship with you. Help us to love you more. God, I look forward to being together next Sunday. But Lord, in this interim, may we continue to worship. May we continue to pray. May we continue to engage in these ways that glorify you, that honor you, that drive our hearts deeper and deeper into a relationship with you. In Christ's name, amen. So now it's time to shovel some snow, to watch Pastor Kimber's video at 1 o'clock, and then watch the Super Bowl tonight. Hey, as you go through your day, whatever you choose to do, I hope that you are thinking about spiritual disciplines. God, what can I do to grow? Now, again, spiritual disciplines are things that we do, not just think about. So start by thinking about them and then put them into practice. Here in about 2 weeks, we're coming into the Lenten season. And so what we're going to be doing really is using these as a challenge for Lent. As we come to Easter, as we come to the cross and the empty tomb, how can we be growing into that? Well, we're going to use spiritual discipline. So each week we'll look at a new spiritual discipline. We'll talk about it. And then we'll challenge ourselves to put it into action that week. So this week, just think about what are they? How am I already doing them? And how can I do more? Hey, I hope you have a great week and enjoy the snow while you can. We'll see you next Sunday.